So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots and jackbooted thugs alike. It is again time for the Thursday Night Truth Radio Show, TNT, on the My View Matters Radio Network. And we hope you enjoyed that lengthy version of Longest Day by Iron Maiden, our opening music. People always love to compliment us on our opening music and our bumper music. We appreciate that. Again, if you want to call in, the numbers as always tonight, 858-683-1326. 858-683-1326. Just barely made it in time to the show tonight, so we hope you forgive us if we seem a little winded and maybe a little off our game tonight. And I guess I couldn't have even told you about it, and it still would have been better than a lot of radio shows, but I thought I'd just get out there ahead of time. Today's date is Thursday, January 23rd, and we'll start out with this week in history. It was a very important day this week, and very important day in history. If you want to look at a very popular man who was a leader and renowned for his leadership abilities, and no, it's not who you think I'm going to say. It's General Robert E. Lee, ladies and gentlemen. General Robert E. Lee was born this week in 1807. So it is the 207th birthday this week of General Robert E. Lee. I hope you didn't think I was going to say somebody else, a communist sympathizer. Sorry, I don't go that way with the hero worship with communist sympathizers. So moving forward, also this week in 1940, moving forward, the American Medical Association Journal bragged about how they have control over medical articles in United Press. What does that tell you? 74 years ago this week, the American Medical Association, AMA Journal, was bragging about having control over medical articles in the United Press. And then finally, this week in 1848, California gold discovered. There's gold in them there hills, as they said, folks. There's gold in those hills, and we know that gold has been very valuable recently. It's taken a very, very, very recent turn for the lower, and we don't know if that's manipulation. We know that the Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor reserve, tries to make your dollar worthless because it's a piece of paper printed out of thin air. It's a Federal Reserve note. A Federal Reserve note. So again, remember, this is the show where we talk about the inappropriate topics that people don't want us to talk about. We talk about things that cause reactions and emotions to bubble up from people, and it's just priceless sometimes. We see the audience numbers. We know you're listening. We see the IP addresses. We know who's listening. Ooh, I guess we're kind of like the NSA now. The NSA knows that we're pissed off about them because, hey, they read about it in our emails. They've read what we said about them in our emails. But since we're going to talk about socialism, and I open the show talking about a particular unnamed leader that everybody falls down and worships, we don't get days of school out for Ronald Reagan. We don't get days of school out for Barry Goldwater or Ron Paul. We don't get days of school out for Thomas Jefferson, and no, don't say President's Day. We don't get school days out for John Adams or Thomas Paine or Ben Franklin. So sticking with the topic of socialism, I want to talk a little bit about the Socialist USA Blueprint that is to be published. This is a story that first came out from CNSNews.com. Sean Long wrote this, and he was talking about a Marxist leftist blueprint that was being prepared for American socialism in a new revolutionary, quote, book of imagination, unquote. And what is this book of which I speak? The new book, Imagine Living in a Socialist USA. Sounds a little bit like an old John Lennon song, doesn't it? And I was never a big Beatles fan. I'm not going to come late to the party and say, oh, the Beatles, because I was never a big fan. We're just taking out all kinds of sacred cows, aren't we? We're not going to celebrate the birthday of a communist sympathizer, and we're not going to worship the Beatles. So this new book, Imagine Living in a Socialist USA, was edited by Francis Golden. And he praises, quote, life-enhancing socialism in the preface. The 281-page manifesto showcases 31 utopian essays, if you will. Written by prominent communists, dangerous criminals, and other self-described communists. And it imagines a free and enlightened socialist United States. Well, see, you got to put the brakes on right there, because how can you be free and be socialist? You can't. You can't be free and be, quote, democratic. You can't be free and be in a democracy. Hell, you really aren't free anymore in this republic that we supposedly are having here, if we could keep it, as Ben Franklin said. But this new book, this contradiction in terms, is oxymoron, imagines a free and enlightened socialist United States promoting radical notions such as eliminating prisons and creating mandatory worker-owned businesses. Well, we'll address it issue by issue. I don't know about eliminating prisons. I wish that we would punish the folks who actually commit heinous crimes. I wish that we would take some of the prison space that's filled by victimless crimes. I wish we would take those spots that are being held by people who smoked marijuana or bought a marijuana cigarette or maybe went over the speed limit or maybe quote-unquote resisted arrest. I wish we could take some of those guys out of the cages. Maybe replace them, a la Iceland, replace them with the banksters, replace them with the double, triple-dipping politicians. Last I noted, we've only sent one Kentucky politician to prison recently, and that was Richie Farmer. And then I guess if you go a little bit due east of here, you can find out about them taking a former governor and indicting him. Speaking, of course, of Virginia's former governor, if you want to do your research, again, I don't think that the mainstream media has hidden this very much. They don't want to hide when people in the Republican Party are taken down. That's why Richie Farmer was all over the news, but you know what? Richie Farmer deserved to be taken down. And when you have a governor who was involved in all the corruption that Bob McDonnell was as governor in Virginia, then he deserved to be taken down as well. But these really are small fries when it comes to corporate criminals, because, again, it's kind of like when Martha Stewart got taken down for what, insider trading? But the people who are the true wolves of Wall Street, if you will, get away with it hand over fist. So again, I got off the topic there a little bit because we're talking about prisons and eliminating prisons. And I don't want to eliminate prisons. I just want to stop the industrial complex, the prison planet, the industrial prison industry that goes right along with our military industrial complex that Dwight D. Eisenhower warned us about in his farewell address. But if you're really interested in this new socialist book, it's stocked with pieces from Bill Ayers to Michael Moore to even Mumia Abu-Jamal. It's a perfect fit for your Karl Marx library, and it brings together calls of grade and competition-free schools and the greatest hits of terrible Occupy Wall Street demands into a strident call for the Third American Revolution. Remember Occupy Wall Street? I wanted to get behind Occupy Wall Street. I tried to get behind Occupy Wall Street. I came down and told people what was going on with that group, and I said, hey, they could be onto something. The Occupiers and the Tea Partiers could come together, that whole left and right thing, if you want to buy into that false paradigm. But again, getting a little bit off topic there. This is a book that was put out about Socialist USA Blueprint. And the author invokes environmental hysteria over such issues, over things like climate change. Remember, it was called global warming, but now since we're 10 below zero in the south here, it's got to be called global cooling, or it's going to be called climate change. And this ridiculous author asserts that our obligation is to remake society from the ground up in the service of life. If this be read as a demand for revolution, so be it. And I'm going to leave it at that. I don't think the book deserves any more free publicity than that. But let's see, socialism, what a new idea. Oh, I'm yawning, folks. May not translate to radio well, but I'm yawning because let's look at how successful communism and socialism have been. China, check. Russia, check. North Korea, check. The former Romania, check, check. All been there, done that, all failures. Wake me up if these guys come up with an original idea. Now, don't get me wrong. I think the United States has failed in a lot of ways, too. Remember, we don't rank number one in freedoms. We're way down the list when it comes to economic freedoms, democracies, freedoms of the press. Wall Street is always the only quote-unquote winner. The Lords of London are the only winners. So was communism truly created as a response to the massive wealth of the oligarchs and the czars? If we lived in these mixed socialist economies, now where government might tax to correct imbalances in wealth? I'm sorry, but the international central banks contrived it. It wasn't capitalism. It was crony capitalism at best. It was corporal fascism at worst. I mean, it's really stupid because there's some people out there who love their socialism. And I just wanted to read to you a little bit about that book because, again, you can look at taxation or inheritance taxes, and these are the way that you, quote-unquote, correct these massive wealth imbalances. Why is it our job to correct imbalances? You see, the big government globalists, these New World Order folks, it's all a ruse, folks. It's all created to get you to look one way. Hey, watch the hand over here. Don't look and see what the guy behind the curtain is doing. The economies crash. We have a few more in the gutter every day. You have these foreigners that move in. They buy up American-owned pop-and-mom stores, and you get more economic false reality hope. Gas goes down 10 cents and it goes up 45, 50 cents. Well, what else goes up? Medical insurance fraud, congressional benefits and wages and retirements. Oh, we don't know what's caused it, but let's keep buying all this dumb plastic crap that's peddled in here. But yet the Chinese laugh if we try to send our stuff over there. We might have some success with some vehicles, some automobile industry there. Maybe what we can export is socialist journalists. We're talking about socialists and economies. What about the fact that the news came out today that CNN, at the end of last calendar year, which would be just 3 or 4 weeks ago, that CNN had let go of more than 40 senior journalists? I guess about half of them, I'm hearing, come from their sister network, HLN, Headline News, which Mediate.com reported that back a couple months ago. But CNN stressed that many of the employees who worked in the Washington, Atlanta, and Los Angeles bureaus were close to retirement. So the old, old dinosaurs within the old, old dinosaur media were put out to the tar patches. Again, I won't get too upset if it's headline news. I don't like people losing jobs, but this move comes as new President Jeff Zucker is trying to, quote-unquote, redefine the CNN network to include entertainment, documentaries, and more. There's that bread and circuses, folks. If it was real documentaries, I might be interested in it. But in an era where cable news is dominated by opinion programming, how many gumshoe reporters are there out there? On the national level, there's Drudge. I'm waiting. Who else is a gumshoe reporter out there? Yeah, sometimes Drudge just hodges and pastes together other stories, but somebody's got to do it. And a lot of these media stories that nobody in the mainstream press want to cover will start out as international pieces. And then they get translated by someone like Alex Jones or the old Breitbart group. And then all of a sudden Drudge picks them up. And then finally, a mainstream press group might put them on the back of the main second page or something. This is what we're talking about. And then put out to pasture a bunch of old dinosaurs. I suspect that it's possible some of these dinosaur journalists who are being laid off could become whistleblowers. Will they lose their retirements and pensions? Never happen. I bet you they don't lose their retirements and pensions, just like government employees all boo-hooing about losing their pensions and retirements. Why did they stop at 40 old dinosaur journalists when there are lots more that they can fire? Why didn't they fire the whole headline news division? You see, CNN doesn't need journalists anymore, folks. They have Obama and the puppet masters. They make the news. They film in front of blue screens. They give us their opinions. They tell us it's now our opinion. They tell us what our opinion should be. It's straight out of 1984. Read the book, folks, if you haven't read it. If you just discovered this show and you think we're crazy and over the edge, that's fine. Go read 1984. Then go read Animal Farm. And then go read some Hayek. And go ahead and read some Friedman and read what's really going on. And come back around and read some Ayn Rand. And read some Fountainhead. And read some Atlas Shrugged. It's all fiction, right? The majority of world journalism is dead in America. And I tried to say it tongue-in-cheek without laughing too loudly when I said that some of these journalists could become whistleblowers, and that's probably the only thing they could do to cause themselves to lose a pension. They sign lifetime contracts, folks. They're just like the CIA, the FBI, and the NSA. They are all enablers. Ted Turner's success came from globalist backing, folks, not genius. So they were near retirement. We let them go before they could draw retirement funds. Again, I don't want people to lose their jobs. And I'm not telling you CNN doesn't do any good reporting, but the dinosaur media put out 30 of their own dinosaurs in the furthest patch away of tar. The mainstream media is doing nothing but trying to make the news and spread the lies. And they have these countless examples of premeditated manipulations, misinterpretations, and downright faking of the news. You might as well read The Onion. Maybe I know now why people like Comedy Central. Maybe I know now why it is that so many people like to watch The Daily Show on Comedy Central. Maybe that's their way of living through this bizarre world that we're in. Maybe they think that they should watch Fox and MSNBC for comedy. And they should watch The Daily Show for real hard-hitting news. I guess I won't break the secret to them that The Daily Show is run by a gentleman by the name, not Jon Stewart, but Jonathan Stewart Leibowitz. Yes, that's right. He shortened his name. You ask him why he didn't want you to know that he was Jewish. But he shortened his name. He is Jonathan Stewart Leibowitz. And maybe we're not supposed to talk about the fact that his brother is Lawrence Leibowitz, COO of the New York Stock Exchange. Chew on that for a little bit if you think any of these guys are going to become whistleblowers when CNN drops them. And when we get back after the break, we'll talk about a real hero and a real whistleblower. You're listening to the TNT Radio Show, Thursday Night Truth, on the My View Matters Radio Network.
Oh, First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate you staying on through the bottom of the hour break. This is the TNT Radio Show, Thursday's the Truth, on the My View Matters Radio Network. Again, we went into the break there with a little Guns N' Roses, the GNR version of Knocking on Heaven's Door, and we had to pay the bills, as they say. We all volunteer on this network, other than Big Ed, who runs the network, and we appreciate us having them give us the vine, if you will, as they say in radio, because here on this network, Sunday nights, you can listen to our good friend Ken Moman, Liberty Unbridled, and maybe we'll get back into Ken Moman's little appearance on television where he went on government TV and stood up against the government bureaucrats, number one. Number two, you can listen on Monday and Tuesday nights, the Ed Springsteen Show with Ed Martin, and then I come back on here Wednesday nights with Mr. Springsteen, and now it's Thursday night, of course, with the My View Matters Radio Network. So, all that being said, we went into the break talking about media and watchdogs and whistleblowers. Today, Ed Snowden, this is the important story we're going to cover today. Today, Ed Snowden, former NSA contractor Ed Snowden, entertained questions for 2 hours in an online chat from Moscow. He called for a reasonable international norm for the limitations on spying, because national laws won't protect us against indiscriminate surveillance. Snowden also said he never stole colleagues' logons or duped them to gain access to secret files. Quote, I never stole any passwords, nor did I trick an army of coworkers, he said, during the live chat over on the Free Snowden website. You want to go check out that website. We're not above giving it a free plug. Maybe they'll come in and sponsor the show sometimes, but it's freesnowden.is, www.freesnowden, freesnowden.is. Fielding questions that he had submitted to him on Twitter, Snowden said the U.S. laws governing whistleblowers do not protect national security contractors and have so many holes, quote-unquote, that they make them ineffective and they discourage reporting of abuses. Those laws also stand in the way of his returning from Russia. He, of course, is in Russia where he had gained temporary asylum last year after fleeing from Hawaii and then Hong Kong, if you remember that adventure of Where in the World is Ed Snowden. Returning to the U.S., I think, this is Mr. Snowden speaking, is the best resolution for the government, the public, and myself, but it's unfortunately not possible in the face of current whistleblower protection laws, which through a failure in law did not cover national security contractors like myself. You see, folks, for months and years, and now going on decades, we've been told by our government, if you see something, say something. If you see something bad or suspicious, say something. And Ed Snowden was working for the government. He worked for the NSA, and he saw something, so he said something. And look what happened to him. In this chat that he gave today online over at freesnowden.is, Ed Snowden said that he urged participants to contact your members of Congress and tell them how you feel about mass surveillance. This is a global problem, he said, and the first step to tackling it is by working together to fix it at home. And in his final answer online today, Snowden said intelligence agencies do have a role to play. Repeat, do have a role to play, and the people at the working level of the NSA, the CIA, or any other member are not out to get you. They're good people trying to do the right thing. And I can tell you from experience that they were worried about the same thing that I was. So he's telling you the same thing I've always told you. It's the globalists. It's the ones at the top. It's like Mr. Springsteen has said on the airwaves here when it comes to the unions. It's not the rank and file. It's those guys at the top. And Snowden added that the, quote, people you need to watch out for, unquote, are the unaccountable senior officials authorizing these unconstitutional programs and unreliable mechanisms like a secret FISA court, the rubber stamp authority that approves 99.97% of government requests. Snowden said not all spying is bad, but that the biggest problem now is the new technique of indiscriminate mass surveillance where governments are seizing billions with a B and billions of innocent communications every single day. And this is not done because of necessity. After all, these programs are unprecedented in U.S. history and were begun in response to a threat that kills fewer Americans every year than bathtub falls and police officers. But you don't see Fox News or CNN or PMSNBC before the current president when they cared about terrorism, supposedly. You don't see them giving you special reports on bathtub falls or police abuse. You might have to go over to see our friends at copblock.org if you want to hear about how shiny little badges don't grant special rights. But you don't see the mainstream press talking about police officers abusing people or bathtub falls. Continuing in his chat from today, Ed Snowden said, I think a person should be able, I'm playing from my computer here, that's what happens when you depend on these conglomerate sons of bitches for internet access. But Mr. Snowden says, again, a person should be able to dial a number, make a purchase, send a message, write an email, or visit a website without having to think about what it's going to look like on their permanent freaking record. Particularly when we now have courts, reports from the federal government, and even statements from Congress making it clear that these programs have not made us more safe, that these programs have only pushed us back. And the NSA and the rest of the U.S. intelligence community is exceptionally well positioned to meet our intelligence requirements through targeted surveillance, the same way we had always done it before we came up with the boogeyman of 9/11. You know, the guys who were going to conquer the world and they were going to do it from a cave with little flies around their face on VHS recordings. We don't have to resort to mass surveillance of entire populations, is what Mr. Snowden said. And I think our audience, our keen, smart, mental level audience, well, I'll give that one big so that was what went down again with the 2-hour conference that Mr. Ed Snowden gave today over on the website freesnowden.is. Now, we do talk about a lot of national issues here, so we're going to stick with that for the moment. There's no reason to veer off on the local and the state issues. We talk about that plenty Sunday night through Thursday night, or Wednesday night, excuse me, and sometimes we don't get to talk about important issues, and hell, no one else is going to talk about them outside of the My View Matters radio network. We We don't think you're going to hear about a socialist USA blueprint being published. We don't think you're going to hear about how the dinosaurs in the tar pit of CNN were laid off. And we know they sure the hell aren't going to say anything positive about Ed Snowden. But maybe, just maybe, we can get a caller on the air here, as I see they're wanting to line up and talk to us. I think we got one on the air right now. We're going to go to the Louisville area. Caller, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, it's Mayo.
Mayo, I thought it was you. What say you tonight, brother?
Oh, not much. Kind of joining a little late. I didn't know if you already talked about it. If you have, I apologize. But when he had the talk today, a few weeks ago, I can't remember, it was Prime Minister of Germany or somebody, but he said, basically, I'll give you the information how the United States hacked your phone if you give me citizenship, or I can't think of the term right now, you know, give me...
Get amnesty to come back to the U.S.
I just wondered what the update on that was.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I was wondering what the update on that was, if the Prime Minister of, I believe it was Germany, because Obama supposedly called and said, no, we're not.
Yeah, it was Germany, Mayo. They never responded. They never got back to him on that. I guess they were out and couldn't be reached for comment, right?
No, but, I mean, it's smart because, you know, somebody is supposed to be your ally. I mean, what was it Jefferson said? You know, trade with all, friends with few, allies with some.
He did say that. Now, I'm glad you brought up Jefferson, Mayo, because Jefferson was radically anti-tax. He was pro-gun, and he was anti-central bank. So I'm pretty sure he would be seen as a right-wing extremist today, and he'd be somewhere between Ed Snowden and Ron Paul if he was alive today, because Jefferson loved the precious metals. We talked about at the beginning of the show that this week celebrates when gold was discovered in the California Gold Rush. Thomas Jefferson openly acknowledged a creator. Now, that kind of got him fired from both sides because he wasn't a religious fanatic, but he wasn't this atheist that they would you think he is. And constitutionally, also, Thomas Jefferson wanted to add a constitutional amendment. I don't know how many people know this, but Jefferson wanted an amendment that would have banned the federal government from going into debt. Now, isn't that just a little extremist, Mayo?
No, that's, I mean... that they knew their grandparents had come over not only from religious persecution, but also England used to have what they called debtor's prison.
Yep.
So, they knew the consequences of going into debt, you know, from stories from their fathers. So you look at the things that our forefathers did, you know, Jefferson, Adams, Monroe, Washington, et cetera, and if you looked at them, today they'd be labeled traitors or, possible terrorists, to watch by our own government.
Yeah, they'd be called to the right of the Tea Party. They'd be called nut jobs and extremists and maybe even fascists, which is ironic because our good friend Paul Hollinger of Stop It, he and I have talked on this airwave ad nauseum about how the fascists are the ones running the government today. I mean, the people running our government today don't say things like Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson said, it is incumbent on every generation to pay its own debt as it goes, a principle which, if acted on, would save one half of the wars of the world. Those are words by Thomas Jefferson. He said, if we could but prevent the government, I think the black helicopter's after you there, or your tacos are done, one or the other there, Mayo. But
I'm still here.
He said, if we could prevent the government from wasting labors of the people under the pretense of taking care of them, they must be happy. What do you think about that?
Well, I agree. I mean, so many things that, you know, they said, you look, it was written 200 years ago, and they still hold true today. Why? Because they are common sense, basic logic. You know, they weren't lawyers trying to look for loopholes. They looked at the common man, the common law, and the law of nature.
Yep.
You know, I believe Jefferson, somebody said something, and I think it was Jefferson that also said it, you know, if all men were angels, then we wouldn't need law.
That's correct. We have this very anti-gun government, and we see these idiot asshats get on TV, Democrat politicians that don't know one end of the gun from the other end of their asshole, and they get on TV and tell you how we need to ban these guns. So another quote from Thomas Jefferson, he said, no man shall ever be debarred the use of arms. That's a quote from Jefferson. No man should ever be debarred the use of arms.
Well,
he didn't say if we got you on a traveling violation. He didn't say if we didn't have your papers in order, if you didn't jump through the right hoops to get the right permit. He said no man should be barred the use of arms. Go ahead, Mayo.
Well, I thought I'd sent it to you, but it was in an interview with the Dalai Lama, and they asked him, somebody threatens your life, should you be able to shoot them? And he said yes. You know, so if you have somebody of a peaceful religion that even says you have the right to protect yourself and shoot somebody, now later in the article he said, you know, shoot them in the leg or the shoulder or something like that. He didn't say kill them, but, you know, you have the right to defend yourself. That, you know, just kills me. And I don't know if you're in front of your computer, but one of the signatures from Jefferson basically is talking about everything that's been happening with Obama or with some of the banking or some of the way the liberal left looks at stuff. But it was like, he who tries to take from a man or from a man what he has earned through his own efforts. I don't know if you've got to bring up but it basically says if you work for it, you know, Obama's statement, you didn't build that, you didn't. And the thing is any person here, whether it's a mom and pop grocery store or, you know, McDonald's or Ford or et cetera, they started that. They had the dream or the idea or the, you know, sweat, blood, and tears and opened a business, you know. But yet here we have the government or the government of Obama, you know, today saying you didn't build that. Where, you know, 200 years ago, Jefferson said, if a man creates something, you do not have the right to take it away from him or tax him out of it or take his property or et cetera.
Let me ask you this, Mayo. Let me stop real quick. I want to pose a question to you that I asked of our good friend Paul from Stomp It last week. And you talk about the Obama administration, and you know, no argument here that it is corrupt and it's somewhere between socialism and fascism, depending on how you want to categorize. But I want you to answer the question I also asked of Paul, Stop Invisible Taxes, last week, and that is, do you think, or tell me in your opinion, how would it have been any better at all if somehow Big Love Mitt Romney, who admitted that he didn't want to run for government office, and Big Love Mitt Romney, who admitted now that they helped steal the nomination from Ron Paul, do you think anything would have been any better under Mitt Romney than under Obama?
Actually, yes, I do. I mean, he told the truth. A lot of people didn't believe it, and I believe you brought it up on a show the other night, you know, when you mentioned the 47%, or that may have been another show with Ed. But if you look at it, he was correct, you know, and people didn't want to hear it, especially the liberal left. You have Benjamin Franklin said, you know, if the people of this great nation ever find that they can vote themselves money, it will be the end of our republic. And that is what has happened with the left and Democrats with WIC, HUD, food stamps, welfare, et cetera. They are not going to bite the hand that feeds them, so they're going to keep voting for them. So I believe, yes, if Romney had gotten in power, then we wouldn't have had, I may be getting my terms mixed up, but Fast and Furious, Benghazi, and some other things would have been taken care of and, you know, responded in kind correctly.
Well, that's fair. I mean, I'll give you that. I guess the only thing I would say about that is the one way that I think people don't look at the mirror image of these things that are occurring right now is that if a Romney had won or if a Senor Juan McCain had won in 2008, if either of these men had won, would we have ever seen the quote-unquote Tea Party movement? So I think that the thing that actually is better that they didn't win is that the neoconservatives are getting worked up. Again, what will happen in 2016 when we have an open election and there's not an incumbent and they think, oh, it's our turn to get back in. I've said this over and over on these airwaves, Mayo. We had the Democrats were so desperate after 12 years of Reagan and Bush. And I make no bones about it. I liked Reagan. I didn't like Bush. But they were so desperate that they would take anybody to get into office. So they proved they would take anybody. Here came Bill Clinton for 8 years. And then the Republican Party came back, and they were so desperate to get rid of Clinton that they would take anybody. And they proved it with George W. And it goes back and forth. The Democrats came back, and oh, my gosh, we had 8 years of George W. We'll do anything to get him out, and they proved it with Obama. So all that being said, nothing ever changes. And if 2016 comes along and you have an open election and then all of a sudden there's no incumbent, and a Republican wins, how many of these neoconservatives who want to tell us what patriots they are will say anything at all if Republicans do the bad things? If Republicans stand up there like George Herbert Walker Bush did in a speech on, ironically, September 11th, 1991, and tell us that he's going to help bring about a new world order, how many Republicans will stand up when a Bush stood up there and expanded Medicare and Social Security spending, and stand there when a George W. Bush helped raid the Indianapolis Baptist Temple because they wouldn't act as tax collectors? But none of them ever remember those stories. Isn't their selective memory a little interesting, Mayo?
Well, also selective memory, everybody talked about the prosperity under Clinton, but that had been put in motion, you know, Reagan and
yep.
the first Bush. That's
yep.
why we had the extra money, okay? And like I
yep.
told Ed on, I think it was Monday night show, nobody has ever given me a job that was poorer than I was.
Nope.
So, you know, they talk about this, you know, war on poverty has been going on for 60-plus years, and, you know, it's a joke. It's just the liberal ideology, which has changed a lot of the common people, the sheeple, you know, their views, and instead of going with what they know is right, their gut instinct, they let, you know, these idiots talk them into another course of action.
Yep.
You know, Obama getting the Nobel Peace Prize, to me, that's one of the greatest liberal idiotic things that happened. You know, here's somebody who's given a peace prize for doing nothing, that the chance he might do something. And I had heard something the other day, and I sent it to Ed, I didn't send it to you, but I thought it was funny. It was four things Obama has done as president. Number one, he's made Nixon look transparent. Number two, he's made Carter look competent. Number three, he's made Clinton look honest. And number four, he's made George W. Bush look like an economic genius.
Wow, that's well said, man. We appreciate you weighing in. I unfortunately get to our closing comments because this is the fastest moving hour on the Blog Talk Radio Network, and we appreciate the growing audience. And don't forget, if you're going to pick on Obama too much, remember, he has bombed more people than all other Nobel Peace winners combined. So you got to keep that in mind. But I think, since we're sticking with Thomas Jefferson, and more words that are important for Thomas Jefferson, he said this: we are overdone with banking institutions which have banished the precious metals and substituted a more fluctuating and unsafe medium, that these have withdrawn capital from the useful improvements and employments to nourish idleness, that the wars of the world have swollen our commerce beyond the wholesome limits of exchanging our own production for our own wants, and that for the amalgamation of a small proportion of our society who prefer these demoralizing pursuits to labors useful to the whole, that peace of the whole is endangered and all our present difficulties produced. Our evils are more easily to be deplored than remedied. Some of you listen to the show on a regular basis are pounding your table right now and saying, hell yeah, Thomas Jefferson. Others listen to the show for the first time are going to go get a dictionary and try to look some of these big multi-syllabic words because you didn't learn them in the government indoctrination camps. But the bottom line is this: Jefferson got it right, and they would call him a Nazi and an extremist and a Tea Partier and a whack job and a potential terrorist today. But of course, Jefferson was none of those things. Rather, he was a great thinker. He was the primary author of the Declaration of Independence, and he was our third president. And again, he is the one who said that I wish it were possible to obtain a single amendment to our Constitution. I would be willing to depend on that alone for the reduction of the size of our government to the genuine principles of its Constitution, taking from the federal government the power of borrowing. Thomas Jefferson knew the borrower was a slave, and Thomas Jefferson knew that the lender was the master. It's your choice, folks. You going to be a slave, or you going to be a master? You can bend over and be one of their sheep and take it up the ass side, or you can stand up and say death to the New World Order. Have a good night, folks.
Well, they're here. I locked the door, but I can see them through the window. One of them is waving at me to shut down. I'm giving him the finger. I'll shut down when I'm goddamn good and ready.
truth.